Are you really recording, Craig?
I don't care anymore.
Half the time he does. Half the time he doesn't.
Half the time he doesn't. 100% of the time,
yeah.
It's all flavor.
60% of the time, it fails every time.
100% of the time, it fails every time. So, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I am Jay, the Grumpy Dungeon Master.
And I'm Christopher.
Also a grumpy dungeon master, and we tend to be pretty grumpy lately. I'm still pissed off about all the money grabbing going on with WotC. That's going to be a regular theme with me, I think, for the next while.
So I do have to say that I am quitting not Dungeons and Dragons, I'm quitting Lord of the Rings fandom.
Oh, completely?
100%. No longer am I going to enjoy Lord of the Rings. I'm gonna have my Frodo tattoo removed. It's bad.
Hold on. You have a Frodo tattoo?
Yeah.
It's got to be tiny.
Well, it's down at my ankle, and it says we have a long journey ahead of us, Sam. And at the very top of my head, underneath my hair, I have a Mount Doom.
Okay.
They're gonna have to journey all the way up to toss in the ring.
Yeah. You know, that's actually fairly clever. I hope somebody actually gets that done. Because I know you don't. I was going to crack a joke about the fact that you have a hobbit tattooed on your body, and, you know, hobbits are tiny and you're not, but kind of failed miserably on that attempt at a joke, but you pulled it back. You did your own joke, made it way better than mine, so.
Yep, that's what I do.
Yep.
So, yeah, the Magic the Gatherings haven't coming out with the Lord of the Rings set.
Yeah, and Warhammer.
And 40K, and but that's not what this channel is about. This channel is about D&D. And I'm going to talk about D&D the entire time. And Paw Patrol. So,
Did you see the Spider-Man movie trailer?
No, I saw the Paw Patrol movie.
Damn.
I want to talk about that.
I was trying to get you to talk about something besides D&D and or Paw Patrol.
Nope.
See, I don't have kids, so I don't even know what Paw Patrol is other than some kid's show.
It's the bestest show ever. So I had a super long weekend, and it started with... I have an echo again. Man, you got to fix your echoes. Craig, fix the echoes.
I don't think it's on my side. I think it's on your side.
Well, it bugs me. I don't like it.
Well, it bugs me too, because then I have to fix it in post.
Well, anyways, so I went out and I purchased a number of D&D books from an individual who, well, I'll keep his name private. And I had Dimitri, one of my players, ride shotgun for me on the way out to this guy's house so I could buy the D&D books. I mentioned that mostly because when I got back home, my wife was making fun of me that, you know, like, oh, you guys had a bro date. I was like, no, he rode shotgun. And he even made the joke that, you know, he should probably just go get a shotgun and bring it with, because we didn't know where we were going. It was two towns away in the middle of nowhere, South Carolina.
So you didn't do the thing that I do when I buy on Facebook Marketplace, meet at Walmart or meet somewhere public. You decided to go to their house.
He wanted to meet at the post office, and then he was going to have us follow him on his bike to his house.
That's a little sketch, but all right.
Yeah, a little sketch, but I'll allow it. So I had Dimitri ride shotgun with me, just in case. Yeah. Also have a person there to validate that I actually did buy the things and blah, 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 just in case something crazy happens. And my wife goes, it's funny that he made a joke about bringing a shotgun. I was like, well, yeah. She goes, is that a real thing? Is that a real term? I was like, yeah. She's like, I thought people just said that. I was like, no, it's like a whole stagecoach thing. Mm-hmm. The person's job was literally to be the guy holding the shotgun so the carriage didn't get robbed.
Yep.
I was like, I never knew that. So you learn something every day, folks.
Yeah. Back in medieval times, you just, you know, have the guy with a sword and a bow or something. Yeah.
And stab him. Mm-hmm. So I went out to purchase a bunch of D&D books, and they were supposed to all be second edition, and there were some fourth edition books I was going to buy as well too.
I saw the list. A lot of that's first edition stuff.
So when I got out there, I was like, that's weird. These books don't look anything like these books, but he says they're all second edition. I'm okay with it. I wanted second edition stuff. And a ton of modules. So when I got home and actually looked at the stuff, turns out half of it was first edition, half of it was second edition. So yeah.
Send me the link again. I wanted to look at them.
It's on our Facebook page on Grumpy Dungeon Masters.
That's where it was. I saw it. Couldn't remember where I'd seen it.
So, overall, I got the second Monster Manual for first edition. I had the first one just by chance. And I'm really excited to kind of go through and start looking through all those and kind of just reading all them.
So, you got three of the really useful first edition ones. Two of them for certain. The Unearthed Arcana, I was always a big fan of looking through, but truthfully, it's not going to be amazing as far as you using it for what you're running now. But the other ones, the Dungeoneer Survival Guide and the Wilderness Survival Guide, those are going to be fantastic for creative ideas.
Mm-hmm. And I just kind of just wanted them just to have them, you know?
Yeah.
So overall, I think I made out real well, and I really am happy with what I got. So
yeah,
overall, it was worth it. It was worth the trip. It was fun trip. And we're probably going to talk about the things that I talked about in the car with Dimitri. So I apologize in advance for him having to listen to the same rants over again.
That's fine. Every time I tell a story from my own game, it's, you know, all my players are listening to the thing they lived, and your players same thing. So yeah, suck it up, Buttercup.
So
yeah, that's some good modules you got too.
Yeah, the modules are the main thing that I wanted, and they were near impossible to price. Like, I could not find any reliable source online.
Some of those I have never seen nor heard of.
Yeah, one of them in there was just like, "Oh yeah, this one exists. Okay, cool. How much is it worth? Money." All right. So we had to agree on the price. There was no haggling, you know, just the way I want it. And
yeah,
I was happy with it, and he was happy with it. Turns out it was his dad's stuff, not his stuff.
Dragon magazines too.
Yes, Dragon magazines too.
Yeah, those are reasonably early ones.
It was all his dad's stuff. So his dad played a lot of second edition, but obviously ran a bunch of first edition campaigns. So I was really excited to get all those and have all them on hand, and going to start reading through them now when I get a chance.
Yeah.
Whatever that will be.
I'm glad you have a Psionics handbook so that when I start talking about second edition Psionics and how much better they are than the bullshit we have now, you can just look at the book.
Is that the first or second edition Psionics?
That is a second edition one. All of those are second edition.
Okay.
I can't tell your player's handbook. That's probably second edition.
The player's handbook is second. It says on the front. Okay.
But yeah, all the orange ones, they're first ed.
Yeah, I mean, that was the only book that I had that was there that had like any kind of significant damage to it.
Yeah.
My cat freaked out when I got him home. Just sniffed the crap out of them. So.
And as far as all the modules, I'm pretty sure all that's second ed. Looks like it.
So at the end of the day, I'm super, super happy to get all those and super happy to have those added to my collection. You know, feel free to look at their Facebook page and take a look at what I got. And if you have played some of those, let me know.
Yep. I'd like to hear. Maybe at some point I'll actually post a picture of my own collection. I'm not particularly a collector, but I still have a lot of the stuff from all over the years.
The fourth edition stuff, he had a lot of fourth edition books that I didn't have, mm-hmm. but they were all kind of like the martial power and this power. But with how fourth edition was, those were like the dumb books. Like, you can't build a character in fourth edition without using the character builder because there's just too much stuff. Mm-hmm. And that was the reason why there was just too much stuff. Just all those extra books just clogging up knowledge. Like, you can't reference stuff. You either play with one book or you play with them all, and it's too much to
third edition was the same way. Like, there were so many books, and nearly every book that came out, the vast majority of them had prestige classes in them and magic items in them. So it was just so hard to keep up with everything.
So the guy, when I was out there talking with him, mentioned that he played some fifth and doesn't like it.
Sure.
Does not like fifth edition.
I know some people who don't like fifth edition.
He had Pathfinder. But he didn't like Pathfinder. He only bought the books because he said that that's what his friends are playing or whatever.
Yeah.
His preferred edition is fourth edition.
Wow.
Wow, that's, right?
Yeah. Well, that makes one person in the world.
Yeah, I would definitely say the fourth is not my preferred edition, but...
Yeah, you have it, you have a nostalgia for it because it's what you started with.
I don't even say that. I would say fifth edition is fourth edition that's better. And he was like, no, no, man, fifth edition is just, it's all wonky and crazy and doesn't work right. And I'm like, I don't know if you actually played fifth edition then, buddy, because like...
Probably not.
It literally is the answer to all of fourth edition's problems.
Yeah.
So...
You had 3.0 and then 3.5. I mean, fifth edition is effectively 4.5. You know, it's a correction of a lot of the problems.
It would, in that case, it would be 4.75.
7.5, sure. However.
Yeah. And that just got me thinking about like all the different editions out there, and the fact that there's currently a survey up on the Wizards of the Coast website where they're asking for feedback on all the original classes. Well, all the classes really for Dungeons and Dragons 5th edition. Spurring okay. more people to believe that they are going to be releasing a 6th edition in 2024. And I've seen that multiple places that are you would consider to be reputable.
I could believe 2024 because that's, you know, the time period sort of makes sense. That's a decade worth of time almost for fifth edition. Like, yeah, 2024 is also a few years away, but I could absolutely believe that.
Yeah, but I really don't think that they should. So one of the things that the guy had in fourth edition was basically fourth edition 4.5 edition. They released a number of like revamps to how fourth edition worked in these small, not hardcover, but like soft cover, like little booklets. Okay.
Yeah.
And those were all kind of like associated with the Forgotten Realms and stuff like that. And it was a revamp of how the system worked. And I think like if they were going to do anything, they should do that. They should go with, hey, here is fifth edition with all these variant rules in place. So people complain that 5th edition isn't gritty enough. Okay, so here's 5th edition with the gritty rules. Here's 5th edition with modern rules. Here's 5th edition with these. And release these like little booklets that change the core mechanics of 5th edition without getting rid of a new, without making a new edition. Because I don't think that reinventing how to roll D20s is really going to be helpful right now. They should just stick with 5th edition. Do the best that they can with it and develop different variants of it instead of trying to develop a whole brand new edition to do. I couldn't think of anything that they could change that would, unless they were going to move away, like go to a D6 system or something crazy like that.
Mm-hmm. I am, however, completely of two minds on this thing, on releasing a sixth edition. I'm of two completely different minds here. So I, from my own personal viewpoint, fifth edition is pretty damn good. It's solid. It's consistent. It plays well, and it doesn't bog down terribly. Which was, you know, I've complained a lot about third, and it bogs down after you get higher levels. Fifth edition does, but not nearly to the extent that third edition does. Like overall, it's a very good system. At the same time,
yes,
you can. WotC is in it to make money. Period. And I'm already complaining about the money grubbing, and we haven't even started the podcast hardly. But for them to release a sixth edition gives them more opportunity to make more money because it won't necessarily bring in new people. But you're going to have people who transition over to the sixth edition. If they continue to just release more of the same stuff that they've been doing for fifth, and we're already getting a lot of complaints about it, you know, oh, look, Tasha's, it's just another Xanathar's, mm-hmm. you know, like people are already grumping that it's just more of the same stuff. So releasing a sixth edition allows them to start fresh and new, They would then sell new copies of players' handbooks, new copies of DM's guide, new copies of monster manuals. At some point, the handful of people who want to stay over on 5th edition would, but the vast majority would probably transition over to 6th, so long as 6th is really good. It's just more, I do feel it's more opportunities for them to make more money. As far as what you're saying about releasing the guides to make alterations to the game, they're not ever going to do that, I don't foresee. A lot of that is just done on the DM's Guild. They gave people access to write their own stuff and get it published on there. And I think that's the majority you're ever going to see from that going forward.
Yeah, the whole idea, and this is what Dimitri said to me in the car, is they want to sell the players' handbooks again.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's what.
Yeah, I mean, they make, when you sell players' handbooks, DM's guide, monster manuals, you just make money.
Right. So, just release a 5.5. Don't change the system from a mechanical standpoint. Make the variants more official. Find what's wrong with some of the classes. Maybe reinvent those a little bit, okay, but don't make a 6th edition. Yeah, the Ranger sucks. We all know the Ranger sucks. Everyone makes fun of the Ranger. We don't.
Well, they made another. They made the other version of the Ranger. What was it? I think it was in Xanathar's where they reworked the Ranger, and that version of it worked fine. But yes, the Player's Handbook version of the Ranger is kind of garbage.
Right. So just release a new 5.5 version that has a better Ranger in it.
Yeah.
We don't need a 6th edition.
Yeah, but if they do a 6th edition, they could, it gives them, I'm not going to say they have to do it as a 6th edition, but they could do it, and then it gives them opportunity to completely rework all of the classes to make them different, because the wizard is kind of boring, truthfully. Rangers, as you have said, suck. Yeah, there's just a lot of things that can be reworked about most of the classes.
Right.
It also gives them opportunity to introduce more classes if they want. I don't know that they should, but if they want, they could. More races. And I know with going forward, they're going to, they're going to make all the little changes they've started to make, like removing the word race. They'll make it, what is it? What's the
lineage
word they use for it? Yeah, they'll use lineage going forward. Like, these are just changes that are going to happen, and then they can easily just implement all that stuff.
Yeah. And I get that. I think a lot of that, there's actually probably a lot of that involved in releasing of a 6th edition as well, too, drastically changing the language. But
yeah,
maybe it's because I got into it so 5th edition so late. It's kind of like, oh, I don't want it to go away. I just started.
Could be. Yeah.
Let me play with this some more. If you're going to say, sit back and say, hey, canon is only the current edition that we're publishing, and you're about to get rid of all the canon, why would I buy any of the books? If a moment later, they're just going to be useless.
That's a fair assessment.
And on top of that, one of the books I bought from this kid was the Forgotten Realms Player's Guide, the Forgotten Realms Campaign Guide.
Right.
And there is more about the Forgotten Realms in those two books than anything 5th edition has. And it made me realize that there is no Fae-run campaign guides. There's Icewind Dale, but there's nothing in there. You've got to go to Storm Giants for that.
Complained about that a lot on here. The fact that they're only doing those campaign modules, and that's where all of your information about those settings is coming from, which is a terrible way to release it.
Yeah.
Third edition had a massive, massive amount of information about Forgotten Realms, and so did second edition. And I'm staring right now at the picture you posted of the 4th edition Forgotten Realms stuff. And yeah, I mean, those books are similar. They're going to just be chock full of detailed information about those worlds, not just Sword Coast, but the entire damn world.
Yeah. It essentially was the entire world. I kind of flipped through it a little bit.
Yeah.
Kind of irritates me now. Now all that's going to get pushed aside. Oh, here comes 6th edition. Welcome.
I mean, we're still speculating on the 6th edition thing.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
I'm certain it will. I don't
feel it in my bones.
I don't know about 2024. Maybe, maybe not. I could see it.
You know what? I tell you what, though. I'm going to buy the stupid collector's edition version of those this time.
Oh, I think going forward, any books I buy, I'm just buying collector's edition version of them, and I'm never going to use them. They're sitting on a shelf. Probably just shrink wrap them and keep them there. That way I can sell them for like 10 times the money 3 years later.
That's one of the things that upsets me is I have the first edition collector's edition books, and they're all still shrink wrapped. They're factory sealed. I really want to break them open and read them, but I don't want to break them open and read them at the same time. You know,
which editions are we talking about here?
They were the collector's edition versions of first edition that they reprinted.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They did the reprints last year or the year before.
No, this is like almost a decade ago now, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe when did you get a hold of them?
Like a decade ago. I was living in Virginia.
Oh, all right. Well, I could have. Maybe you just talked about it last year. I had never heard about that.
I talk about it a lot because they're my favorite.
And you've never read them.
I've never read them. Nope.
Well, it was the, so I guess you don't have the DM guide or the player's handbook for first edition other than those.
Nope.
Huh. Well, conveniently you have the second edition and the DMG for second edition, and honestly, they're very similar. You get to learn about Thaco. No, they are very similar. There's, a few changes. I think barbarians were removed from the game. Assassin was removed from the game as playable classes, but otherwise they're real close.
Yeah.
Hey guys, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but apparently you guys weren't listening after the podcast, so it was totally messing up our metrics. So now I'm going to cut in and do it right now. So make sure to check us out on Instagram at
Grumpy Dungeon Masters,
and on Twitter at
@Grumpy_DMs.
And Facebook,
Grumpy Dungeon Masters.
And on Twitch,
also Grumpy Dungeon Masters.
And when do we stream on Twitch?
Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we do our D&D game, which is currently an OWL campaign. But we also stream on Tuesdays at 9 p.m., just video games with me and Jay. And I, Christopher, stream on Friday, or I do campaign prep and other D&D related fun things.
And maybe also, maybe if you're lucky, you can find us on TikTok where Chris will do dancing or something.
Oh yeah, I did open a TikTok. It's Grumpy Dungeon Masters, so I'll be dancing there soon. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm definitely gonna enjoy reading all those books. I'm really looking forward to it, and if I ever get some time, between all the modules and stuff that I'm writing and everything, and
yeah,
I'm strapped for time.
I think we all are right now. I was working up until the point that we had to record this podcast.
Yeah, jobs. Yep. Stupid jobs.
Gotta like make that job. Money. That's life.
So at the end of the day, I'm very happy again with what I purchased, and I'm looking forward to kind of reading those. I got the Dark Sun Monster Manual.
I saw that. No, that's going to be an interesting one for you. Let me know if it has the dragon in it, because I saw the picture of him on the cover.
I think he is.
Yeah, because he's a lot different than what you're used to. But yeah, that's the dragon from Dark Sun. There was only one of them.
His name is Fredward.
No, it was not Fredward. It was Squidward.
So, the other thing I had to do today is I took my daughter out to go see the Paw Patrol movie.
Yes.
And I'm not going to go into anything that's crazy, but it was kind of funny. They one of the pups has PTSD because where they moved back to the city where he was lost and scared and stuff like that, and it was kind of interesting how they handled that poor child's movie.
Sure.
But there's one pup in the show. His name is Zuma. Okay. He is the aquatic pup.
Shout out now, to all the Zumo fans.
Zuma. So his whole job is going out into the Bay of Adventure Bay and saving it when it was like a water issue. But this whole movie is based in Adventure City, where there's no water. So the entire movie, this kid is just kind of like there's this pup is just sitting there in his stupid hovercraft, unable to do anything the entire movie.
So he's Aquaman in Kansas.
So I bring it up because I had to get some new players. Stuff had come up in real life, and they had to dip out for a little while. So I had to get new players. And I was kind of thinking of the player dynamics of what I had, and that kind of got me thinking about just player dynamics as a whole. And there's always that one player who kind of just sits at the sideline and doesn't do much.
Yeah.
And but they always come through in a pinch to save the day. And I was thinking about that while I was kind of watching this Paw Patrol movie with my daughter. And then I got really sad because Zuma in the show still isn't that character. It's actually a different pup called Marshall, who's the firefighter. He just sits on the sidelines. He cracks jokes. And then, like, there's this one episode where they all make a basketball team to fight the kitten basketball team. Right. Well, everyone's a basketball player except for Marshall because he's an EMT. He's a trained firefighter. He's a trained EMT. He's emergency medical response, you know?
Yeah.
So this one little pup that does stuff in the water is absolutely useless 100% of the time, no matter what the situation is. That made me feel really bad. Have you ever had a player like that just can't ever do anything at all?
I have. I do not have that with my current group, but oh, absolutely. I've had players like that. I've had players. Yeah, I've talked about the types of campaigns I run often enough. Like, I tend to run relatively high-powered campaigns. You know, the stats are a little higher than normal, etc. And I expect players to truthfully build characters like that. Mm-hmm. With 5th edition, it's actively hard to build a bad character with 5th ed. But earlier editions, that was not the case. 3rd edition, you could easily build a useless fucking character. And people will do that. They'll build a role-play character, which is fantastic. But my campaigns they tend to be combat-heavy. So building a character that's shitty in combat is not going to work.
Well, I had a new player, and his name is John. He decided to play a Tortorian.
Hi, John.
he's playing a Tortorian monk.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, Tortorian cleric. And so they're kind of getting used to each other. I'm kind of getting used to him as a player. He's getting used to me as a DM. That, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the feeling out process.
Yeah. So I developed an encounter where I don't know if it was you or I think it was Dan, our buddy Dan, kind of gave me this idea to have a troll under a bridge. I had a troll under a bridge. I had that encounter. And it was a lot of fun because I found this really awesome map online that was perfect for my needs. And now I got to find, got to recreate it or something because I can't use that map for when I publish.
Yeah.
But it was a great little map and it worked out perfect. And I picked up the Zandalari troll from World of Warcraft because I wanted to be like a fey troll that looked different. It wasn't very trollish, kind of like, you know, more reptilian.
More fey, less troll.
More fey, less troll. And so I had that there. And I had another player, a new player named Chris. He's playing he was going to play a Warlock Genie pact.
Nice.
And we were talking, and I had mentioned that I would love to see more Bladesingers in the game because I really like the Bladesinger class.
Yeah.
And no one ever plays a Bladesinger. He's just like, you know what? I'm going to play a Bladesinger. So he's playing a Bladesinger. And this is like the second major encounter that they've had with me. Chris sees a troll, blinds him immediately. Okay.
Yeah.
With his spells. So he is blind. And then
that's a good way to fight a troll.
Yeah. And then the Tortorian cleric uses thaumaturgy and makes the sound of him breaking the bridge.
Okay.
To a blind troll. And the troll's bridge, he's very territorial. He needs his bridge to be safe. So now he's blind. And all of a sudden, he just heard his bridge snap in half. And he's like, I'm going to break your bridge unless you let us cross. I was like, all right, give me an intimidation check. Top of that. And I was like, use your spellcasting modifier in place of charisma because he used thaumaturgy to make that happen. And he was like, oh, okay. He was very happy for that.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems good. I mean, yeah, that's honestly, that's probably what I would have done the same there.
And he rolls like a 26.
Nice.
And I roll like a 4. So this entire encounter that I had made up because I was out driving to pick up the books, I was, you know, late and kind of like, you know, really trying to design good encounters really fast with very little time.
Yeah, speed and I thought designing.
This one was, yeah, speed designing. And I was thinking, and I had so much work put into this one. I was like, oh, this one's going to be great.
A new Olympic challenge.
And they just like, oh, yeah, we're done. We role play our way out of this one. Bye.
I mean, so, look, no, that's good. They did it right. You know, I hate when that happens to me, when I have a, you know, half hour worth of encounter planned or whatever, and it's done in 2 minutes because the players do something unexpected. But
yeah, it was great. I loved it. It's like these players are going to fit in real well with the team. And awesome.
See, that's another thing that I one of my issues with fifth edition. I don't like massive amounts of modifiers. Like third edition had, you know, a +2 for this, a -2 for that. I don't like all of that, but at the same time, fifth edition, I think, could use it a little more. Like, they do not have any +2 modifiers or anything like that, other than occasional, you get, you know, like shield spell, you get +5 to AC, but those are, they're so rare, so infrequent. In the case of the troll, if the troll hadn't completely just run away or whatever from an intimidation check, at the very least, it could have been feared. And with fear, it gives it disadvantage, which it already has disadvantage for being blinded. You can't give it double disadvantage. So I think the game could utilize like plus or -2 modifiers to attack rolls and shit like that occasionally for stuff like that.
Yeah, because a lot of that is hidden behind the text of the system. Mm-hmm. Like, that stuff is there, but you have to know, like, okay, player, you know, like, you have to play with the rules, like, you know, your players give monsters cover. So there's the -2 there.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
Yeah, but that's really it's really only in, like, the cover modifiers that I can think of. They're the pluses and minuses are very infrequent in 5th edition.
Yeah, the whole banding AC thing is just, it kind of worked and kind of didn't at the same time.
Banding AC,
with how AC worked in fifth edition, where everyone, like, no one's better than a 20 or 24.
Oh yeah, where everything, no matter what you're wearing with your dex bonuses and stuff, you're pretty much all, you know, equivalent. Yeah. If you're all the best you can get, you're still roughly the same.
Yeah. So I mean, it kind of worked, it kind of didn't at the same time. Mm-hmm.
It makes the game bland, is what it is, because everybody's the same.
Kind of, yeah. But at the same time, you could also, instead of doing 6th edition, you could have 20 to 30. break that can of worms open.
I know how to make 6th edition. Let's fucking bring back Thaco.
Well, the thing I really liked about 4th is
so you
I like
ignored that and moved on.
I did. Well, actually, I remind me after this. I want to come back around to that.
No, oh, okay. I'll try to remember the ADD guy here.
What I really like about 4th edition, what I really like about a lot of different RPGs out there is I like the players rolling a lot of die. 4E was a trudge of die rolls and modifiers and just crap like that, and it was unfun. But one thing that I liked about it was that there wasn't savings. There wasn't saving throws. It was just, hey, I'm going to do this spell that hits your wisdom. Instead of giving me a wisdom save, I'm going to attack your wisdom. Here's my role to attack your wisdom.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that aspect of, like, this is what I'm aiming for, kind of thing.
So instead of the player making a save, the person makes an attack against that stat instead. So it's effectively the same thing as a save. It's just a different person rolling it.
Yeah. And I like players rolling a lot of dice. I think that's what keeps people engaged. Mm-hmm. But that was one of the biggest complaints of 4th edition. It's like, where'd my saving throws go? it went to that mechanic. They took it away.
It didn't go anywhere. It was the same from what it sounds like. It's just the DM was rolling it now instead of the player.
Well, the player's rolling it now instead of the DM.
Well, if your NPC was attacking a player with a spell against their wisdom, you would be the one rolling the die as an attack roll, correct?
Yeah, if I'm hitting you with a wisdom spell, I'm rolling an attack.
Yeah, so it just changed it. Whereas in 5th edition and every other edition, the player would be the one rolling that saving throw.
Yeah.
It's literally the same thing as 5th edition, just swapping who rolls the dice.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's one of the positives, I guess. But no one liked it. Because where's my thing, though?
Yeah, it's a weird change that didn't need to happen. And they just changed it back to 5th. You know, 5th edition uses, you know, the same stats, you're attacking a stat, and it's just the player rolling it instead of the DM, or vice versa.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, I've completely forgot what I was talking about.
Well, you wanted to come back to Thaco.
Oh, coming back to Thaco.
I can't believe I remembered.
Part of the stuff that I bought was his dad's DM binder. He just gave me that.
Mm-hmm.
So I have all of his dad's NPCs. I guess they're mine now. My NPCs. I made
mine's.
I have all of his NPCs, all of his player characters. I have all of his dungeons, all of his notes, all of his crazy stuff that he was building and stuff like that. I have all that now.
And a 1992 spring summer TSR catalog.
That catalog is the best thing on the face of the planet. I looked through it, I think, 5 times already. It's amazing. I was like, I need to order half this stuff.
Yep, I want all of it. And unfortunately, most of it's like $50 to $100 on eBay now.
And I was, when I was going through his binder, there's just all these like just tables of like weird number charts. And I was like, what the hell is all this stuff? And then it clicked. It's like, oh, these are his Thaco tables.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my god, this is horrible. I don't want to play this edition ever.
No, Thaco is not bad.
Pages
at all.
Upon pages upon pages of, oh, look, here's how I can hit the armor class of these. Here's the range. Like, that's just way too much math. That's just
Thaco is not hard at all. People like to think it is. And it's a weird system. It's not, you know, it's not intuitive necessarily, but it is not difficult. Mind you, you know, what they have now is much. It's just much more straightforward. It's, you know, people's brains work properly that way.
Well, I don't know what intuitive is, but it looked hard.
It's not. Now a frenzied berserker from 3rd edition. That's difficult. You need fucking trigonometry tables to do that shit.
So, a lot of good books. I was really happy with all those. A lot of good new players, and I'm really happy with them as well too. And all in all, things are looking up for the old Chris Meister.
Nice. Oh, since we're sort of all in the second edition, first edition stuff, and this was something that Panda brought up the other day. That
who's Panda?
Reverend Panda, the other grumpy dungeon master.
I want to make sure that he actually gets called out, because he's like, why don't you guys call and talk to me about it? I'm like, we do.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I'm talking about you right now, of which you're not going to hear it, but we'll probably tell you on Tuesday that we talked about you on the podcast. but he mentioned during our last gaming stream about the fact his characters are level ranges, which I'm pretty sure you've never done that. I haven't utilized level ranges, God, since 2nd edition.
I did when experience was granted based on not milestones.
Yeah. I've gotten to a point, like by 3rd edition, I had just gotten to a point, even if I was doing XP, I would do group XP. So if somebody wasn't there for a game session, or somebody, this person did something epic, whatever, I'm just giving everybody the XP for it, because it's weird and difficult to run a campaign where you have somebody who's 7th level and somebody who's 4th level in the same party. Like, you don't necessarily want that. It harkens back to the older editions, and there's something nostalgic about it, But as far as running a game as a DM, it's way difficult. Because then you run into the issues, especially with 5th, you know, where everything is sort of statted, you know, very directly. This is what it's supposed to be. If you have people who are on those variant ranges of levels, it's just a nightmare to stat everything properly and not kill the party.
Well, I know, like, with D&D Beyond, it does a real good job with their encounter builder. I know there's a, what's it called, Kobold?
Kobold Press? Kobold
not Kobold Press, there's a Kobold... It creates encounters at the appropriate CR ranges that you need.
Okay. I mean, truthfully, I guess I could just figure out what the CR is by, you know, adding all the party number together, if finding the median or whatever, but it's still, it just...
It's a lot of work that I don't want to do or have to worry about.
Yeah.
I understand the grittiness of it, but at the end of the day, that's why I just have basically just gone to milestones 100%.
Yeah.
I'm telling a story. I don't want people to... The story I have is finite. If I was running this big, long campaign, like if I ever get a chance to start developing my big homebrew world, I'd probably not run that milestone. Because it's not a story. It's you're living here. What are you doing? Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'd run that differently, but I just don't have time to manage all that crap.
Yeah. I think with me running XP and everything else, I was younger at the time. I just had more free time to do things, and I was way more focused and devoted to Dungeons and Dragons on my day-to-day life.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Much, much older now, and I'm very busy at the moment. I'm able to put together what I'm running, but I'm not going to sit here and hash out anymore whether or not you get 200 XP from this thing and 400 from this and add it all up and shit, did you make a level? No, well, I'm continuing my story whether you made a level or not. And, oh, look, you're too low level now because, you know, that's how XP works.
Yeah. And like I said, I don't think since I'm running a story, I don't think that's fair to the players.
Mm-hmm.
But I know Panda is running a campaign world. He's running his campaign world.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it works for him in his environment.
I think I don't even think it's that. I truthfully think it's just that's what he's used to and that's what he wants to do. Nothing wrong with it, but it is extra work. Panda, I do think, devotes a lot more time into into the number crunching of the game than we do.
Yeah, and he also has a lot more free time.
Yeah. Yeah, he has more free time as well. So.
That helps a lot.
Yeah.
So
yeah, for any other dungeon masters that are listening that want to comment about this, just, you know, hit us up on Facebook or something, cuz I'd be curious whether or not people use XP, use milestones, and whether or not, if you're using XP, do you have level ranges? Do you have some characters who are 12th level and some characters who are 10th level in a party? Because I haven't seen it in years, and then when Panda brought it up, it just was like, oh yeah, that is a thing, isn't it?
Well, when we were doing the Star Wars game, when you were still a part of it, that DM, Eric, he was like, oh yeah, I'm going to do XP for all you guys.
He did XP and every week. Yeah.
Yeah, he's still doing XP every week, but we're all just the same XP range. So
right, which is how I did it when I was using XP. I
just, at one point in time, is it just like everybody's just the same level and just go with milestones and call it a day?
Yeah, it was basically handing out XP, but everybody just levels at the same rate no matter what. So
yeah, so it's just another thing that I don't need to manage. You know, I don't.
Yep.
You know, I tried doing XP for a little bit, and just like, it's just another number I have to take care of, just like the stupid breakable gear that I had in Rime of the Frostmaiden. It worked for like 4 sessions, and then everyone was just bored of it, and we never touched it again.
Yeah, it was a good thought and neat attempt, and I'm sure some people who are super number crunchy would love it. But
yeah,
you know, we're older. Yeah, you know, we got other stuff we have to deal with, so. You got a kid, you got a job, a wife. me.
I gotta go see the Paw Patrol movie.
Yeah, now I'm just working all the time at the moment. So.
Paw Patrol. Be there on the double. It's your tongue. It's stuck in your head forever.
Fair enough. I'm glad I don't have kids. I have, however, seen lots of the Paw Patrol plush toys out there at all these stores I've been going to. So.
You know, whenever they make a G-rated movie, they always have jokes for the parents.
Oh, you have to. Parents would go insane watching stupid kids' movies.
And one thing I've always brought up with them, and it goes for any show that has kids doing heroic things with like a seemingly endless budget available to them. They go from like their little small town where they already have 15,000 vehicles each and a massive base.
Got
and
that
air
Tony,
fortress.
That Tony Stank money.
And so I was just thinking, like, okay, so they move to the city, and all of a sudden there's a skyscraper new building that they have. They somehow have gotten it so that the city, the street that they deploy their vehicles into can get, like, lighted off. Like, how do you get clearance? How do you go through the government to get, like, the ability to do all that crap? And... they actually answered it in the movie. It was the funniest joke. Is they walk into the new thing and one of the pups goes, "Wow, this is really cool. How did you pay for all this?" And then the kid turns around. The main human kid turns around, and he's holding all this Paw Patrol merchandise in his hands. And he goes, "Paw Patrol merchandise! It sells out everywhere."
Perfect.
And oh, I just started dying laughing.
That's so good. That's so good.
I'm like, you're gonna call a spade, I guess.
Yep. No, that's fantastic. It's, a lot of movies just don't even put the effort into it. At least they can joke about it. The fact that they're not going to put a lot of effort into it.
Oh, I was just, man. But yeah, they got me, like I said, that got me thinking about the useless players or the players that don't do anything and my good new players and just.
I'm glad you found players as quickly as you did, and apparently you got good ones.
Well, I've had a lot of people ask.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to hear.
I can't bring everybody in, but I definitely try my best.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know we got a lot of friends who would love to D&D with us when the time presents itself. So.
Yeah, you're just going to have your weekends free. 100%.
Yeah. Or 95%. Free at least.
115%.
I don't think that math adds up.
Your math is wrong.
Well, that's probably also true.
So overall, it's just I'm really happy where this Al campaign is going. I'm very curious as to how it's going to end. I don't have the end of the story written yet, so I'm kind of scared.
On that. Have you ever run like a festival type game in D&D before?
No.
So we did.
Well,
that.
I mean, I had. There was a time in Waterdeep where they had a festival.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know the Waterdeep book is actually pretty good with lore about Waterdeep.
Yeah.
And I had mathed them out that they started here, and we were kind of going through a certain time range where once in a while there's a lot of downtime. That happened, and one of the things that I did is when Halloween came around, I really liked Halloween from the Waterdeep perspective. So I made sure Halloween happened to them, and I basically had a bunch of kids dressed up in like the different outfits come running by and get treats from the. With Troll Skull Manor people, which was Beholder Skull Manor, because they had all these Beholder Skulls outside, and it was cute, it was fun. And then the bad guy showed up, dressed up
everything,
and that ruined everything. But it was good. It worked out real well.
I know less about the festival and just more about the competitions is what I was thinking of. So like I know in Icewind Dale, they had the one. Sort of football game that you could get into or a couple. Actually, I think, there was also the one I never ran in Icewind Dale with the, what do they call them? the stone guys, the one that Valadred is. Goliath, thank you. Like, Goliath Village had some competitions, and then there was one right near the end of the actual campaign where you could play sort of a football game. But it was so poorly done. It was just roll some dice, and it was just, you know, high roll wins type thing over and over and over and over until you complete the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, like no real thought into it.
So when I was doing the Owl campaign, I was running it at the Green Dragon store. Mm-hmm. One of the guys is like, "Hey, I want to have a competition with somebody. What games are around here in the Owl Village?" And I just let them make up their own game, which turned out just to be Joust. The old Atari game.
That's cool.
Charge at each other in the air, and whoever gets knocked to the ground is the loser. And it was a owl person versus a Goliath, oddly enough. Huh. And so he basically swung on a rope to get to the other guy, and that was the whole game.
Well, that's a interesting take on it.
It was very funny. It was, like I said, it was essentially Joust.
Yeah. I bring it up because we actually did that in Johnny's game last night, where we were at a city and it happened to be a festival going on, but we actually all got to compete in different games that were sort of suited to our different talents. One of them was an archery contest. There was a calligraphy contest. We did the Iaido contest. If you're not familiar, Iaido, it's basically a sword fight, a sword duel. And one of the nice things about the Oriental Adventures is they actually have legitimate rules for Iaido contest or for an Iaido duel. Cool. There's multiple phases of the fight. The first one is the stance, and it's basically you just roll the die, add your attack modifier to it and your proficiency modifier to it, and that's going to be your initiative. Is what it is. So the second round of it is the focus phase, where if you roll a 15 or higher, you get to know what the other person's initiative was. If you get a 20 or higher, you get to know what level they are. So yeah, you actually can garner information about your opponent with that. And after that second round, because it's, you know, feudal society, somebody can bow out. If they know that they're losing on initiative and they're lower level than this guy, you can bow out. There's no honor loss, and the other person would be the victor. And that did happen a couple of times last night during that duel. And then the third phase is the strike phase. Whoever had the highest initiative gets to roll an attack roll, a single attack roll, do the standard damage that we do, and then you add your initiative from the stance also into damage. So that first strike's going to fucking hurt. And if you're still standing after that, then you just go into combat as per normal. But like, it's a three-step actual phase for a competition. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I am a fan of it. I really like the fact they have it. And you can also utilize that in duels. You know, it doesn't have to be in a competition. If you're out on the field of battle and you come across another samurai, you know, and you guys decide, well, fuck it, let's sword fight. Here you go. Here's how you do it.
Yeah, I think in Waterdeep, the only thing that the competition wise that they had is something I added in for go-kart race, because they mentioned that there was go-karting that happened.
Go-karting? So, how the fuck do you... Go-karts in medieval fantasy?
Sorry, I said go-kart. It's more like pulling the Roman...
Okay, charioteering.
Yeah, charioteering. It was like pony version of that.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I mean, they could do go-karts. They have freaking robots, so...
Oh, fair enough. Oh yeah, yeah. That's are we talking Forgotten Realms here? Yeah,
yeah. I mean, they could do go karting. So essentially, people came fucking around nerds. Like people are coming around like, hey, we want you to fund our little racing. What do you want to call it? What do you want it to be? And you know, they try to convince them to fund it, and they did, I think. And I had a little chart that they had, like how much money they gave in, or
they bought in on a NASCAR team, because that's what it sounds like. They bought in on a NASCAR team.
They didn't win though.
But it I guess it'd be Gnomescar.
Gnomescar. But it was interesting just to kind of have that happen.
No, that's cool. Those are little side things that I find interesting. I hate the fact that it's fucking, you know, NASCAR or whatever, but yeah, charioteering or even, you know, jousting or things that fit the setting. I love that idea. I love the little side adventures, even if they don't, there's no combat, they take 5 minutes, stuff like that's cool. It adds flavor to the world and to the game.
Well, that was actually one thing that Dimitri mentioned with a 6th edition, is that there's not a lot to do with downtime in 5th edition.
Oh, God.
Xanathar added some, but it's just not there. It's not written in anywhere.
Yeah, 2nd edition. Oh, my God. Like a third of all that stuff that you're going to read is downtime stuff, or it can be. Like there was options for downtime stuff.
Yeah. So going back to the original point, they could just expand downtime as well instead of.
I would love to see a book. I really would love to see a book about that. Just that sort of the campaign designs, especially with the ones that are written, they don't give you downtime options.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. They just don't.
They don't take a moment to breathe.
Right. The second edition modules, a lot of them, you know, I won't say a lot of them, but some of them did have downtime sort of built in. It was almost expected that between the modules, your characters are taking months off.
I wonder if a lot of that gets cut on the editing room floor nowadays.
Yeah, it does. It definitely does.
Because, hey, we need a streamlined book. We got to keep them rolling through this because, you know, the next one's right behind us, you know?
Yep. I think it's kind of the difference of releasing a 250-page campaign book as opposed to the old first and second edition ones where it's 50 pages.
Yeah.
You know, what they're writing now are these big sort of long epics, whereas the other ones were technically big long epics, but they were broken up into chapters.
Yeah. So, I mean, that may be part of the reason.
Yeah.
Seems weird.
You can still utilize the downtime, but there's not much information out on it in 5th edition, and you have to write your campaign with that in mind. I'm trying to do that now with my own campaign, but my players are still sort of going from point to point to point to point. So I'm having to try to find those moments to give them downtime to do things like that.
Maybe that should be the good book. Call it the B-sides, where all it is basically you just your B-side stories you can run during your main campaign.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for reminding about that. I need to write up something for one of my players. He missed a game session or a couple of game sessions, so I'm having to write up what his character got up to while the other characters were off adventuring.
Which character was this?
Noodle, the gnome wizard. My buddy Michael Horn, the one who posts on our page occasionally.
Oh, just to call it all your players. I thought one of your players ordered one of the Grumpy Dungeon Masters for 1 year anniversary kits.
Yep.
None of them did. Actually, it was my new player, Chris, that did.
Oh, okay.
So, haha.
Okay. I'm not going to call out who it was. They told me about this. They actually thought they ordered from you and then found out they didn't. One of my players thought they had ordered and then ended up not doing it. But yeah, hey, anybody who wants some Grumpy Dungeon Masters dice and stuff, we still have some on the website. Check it out. Order your GDM dice. They are pretty sweet. I've been using them to roll fireballs on my players, and they do a lot of damage.
They do a lot of damage. They are specifically weighted to always roll sixes for DMs and ones for players.
Yep. It's a true story.
But all you got to do is just make a successful deception check, and you can just tell the die at your... The DC is like 4, so you pretty much just always just say, hey, I'm a DM, and you'll just roll sixes.
So it's good for players, too. I think we're done here.
No, Speaking of D6s rolling sixes, the Star Wars system, the guy that takes just massive liberties with the design of the game and making 5th edition a different version, he pretty much has a whole different version of 5th edition as Star Wars 5e.
Yeah,
the fact that I'm buying augments to change my sneak attack die right now for my rogue is 8d12.
Oh, that's some 3rd edition shit right there.
It is so broken. It's just like, oh, who can get the highest crit? Ha ha ha! What'd you crit? Is that 16d12? That's better than a blaster from the Star Destroyer.
That's enough to kill a crate dragon.
It is ludicrous. It is just insane. I love it. I love that it's all insane. Yeah. But it is just utterly insane. The amount of stuff that I can do with that stupid thing. Although I am a glass cannon, as I did complain about that last week.
Yeah. Yep. Especially when things get to make all of their attacks on reactions.
I don't know. I think I told you that. It's like, hey, my rogue, it's now essentially a 5 paladin and 11 rogue. And I said, yeah, I'm a 5 paladin now, so now I get an extra attack. But unfortunately, my extra attack only works on my turn. I made the joke last week. I don't care.
It's good to be the DM.
Yeah, it is. All right, goodbye.
Bye, Craig.